Live Mike.
Pittsburgh Steeler fans, it's time once again for another edition of the Live Mike Podcast. My name is Michael Beck, of course, your deputy editor of BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, and we're bringing it to you again, of course, breaking down the Pittsburgh Steelers, but you already knew that. This week, we're taking a bit of a look at how the Steelers have put themselves in a position to still fight for a playoff spot and how they can exactly do that in the coming weeks. Now, of course, the Pittsburgh Steelers just fought their way back to an even 500 record at 3-3. I think going into the season, heading into the bye week, a lot of people were kind of predicting the Steelers to be somewhere between 4-2, 3-3, or 2-4. I definitely thought the Steelers would have at least three wins. I was leaning towards that four-win territory. And honestly, I was picking the wins against pretty much all the teams they didn't actually win against. So, oddly enough, the Steelers still go to 3-3. Perhaps not the opponents we thought they were going to beat, but regardless, they are 3-3 at this point with a 500 record, tied with the Cleveland Browns, a game behind the Bengals, and two games behind the Baltimore Ravens. The Steelers, thankfully, have kept pace here and have remained fairly healthy to this point in the season. Of course, Tyson Alualu's done for the year, but the Steelers are expecting some reinforcements on the way. Of course, Zach Banner should be looking to either start or be a top backup against the Cleveland Browns after the Steelers' bye week. Anthony McFarland should be coming back to the lineup fairly soon here. That's what all the rumors kind of look like, that he should be back sometime in the coming weeks here. Aside from those two, Stephon Tuitt, of course, is a guy to monitor. Once he's back on the field, the Pittsburgh Steelers are definitely going to be a better team. Him being a game wrecker beside Cam Hayward, especially with the loss of Tyson Alualu, getting him on the field completely changes the Steelers' defense for the better and makes them even more dominant across that defensive front. Who knows exactly when Tuitt's going to be back, but he has been seen working out, not practicing, but working out during Steelers' practices. So, that means he is inching his way back closer and closer, of course, rehabbing that knee injury, as well as all that personal stuff that's been going on the last couple months with him. So our thoughts are with Stephon Tuitt, and we definitely hope he can get on the field ASAP. But with that, the Pittsburgh Steelers are sitting in a pretty good spot. All the other injured players are starting to get back healthy, back on the field. The injured groin club seemingly has got back to full health. And of course, with the bye week here, all those bumps and bruises should heal up pretty damn good before they take to the field 2 weeks from now. Of course, with any bye week, it's going to be an interesting weekend next weekend with no Steelers football to watch. So before we continue any further, if you guys want to tell me what you guys like to do on your bye week, so when there's no Steelers football, go ahead and tweet at me, at MichaelBeck56. I'm curious what you guys typically do on your bye weekends, and I'll try to test some of these things out to not be quite as bored without any Steelers football on the television. Now, continuing on with the theme of the show, of course, the Steelers in the playoffs, a pretty big one here is the Pittsburgh Steelers' next opponent, of course, is the Cleveland Browns in a couple weeks. The Browns have just, I don't know if it's official, but have broken the record for the longest injury report heading into a game, of course, last weekend against the Arizona Cardinals, a game which they lost, and a game in which Kareem Hunt got injured. He's on the IR now. Baker Mayfield hurt his shoulder. He could miss some time. Odell Beckham Jr. also got worse. The Browns are in a bad spot right now, health-wise. Of course, even Nick Chubb is expected to miss a couple games, and who knows if he'll be available against the Pittsburgh Steelers when we get to that matchup. So on paper, the Pittsburgh Steelers just took on a very beat-up Seahawks team and took care of business. Was it as pretty as you'd want it to be? No, but it is the NFL, and these guys are still the best players in the world. We need to keep that in mind. But the Pittsburgh Steelers got the job done and got to 500 record. Now with the Cleveland Browns, regardless of them getting a little bit healthier this week, there's no way they are going to be 100% when they take on the Pittsburgh Steelers 2 weeks from now. The Pittsburgh Steelers, on the other hand, will be as close to 100% as they have been all season long. A healthy team versus a banged up team, and a game the Pittsburgh Steelers Steelers have no need to be any extra motivated for after being bounced by the Browns in the playoffs at home last year. The Steelers should have themselves a game at First Energy Field there in Cleveland. So heading into Cleveland, the Pittsburgh Steelers really have no excuse to lose this game. It's just one of those games against a division rival, yes, in a road stadium. So clearly they won't be the favorite, regardless of who's healthy and who's not. But the Steelers are a successful team coming off the bye week, and they're going to be healthy against a very banged up Browns team. You have to take advantage of opportunities like these. The Steelers, of course, are going to be motivated. They're going to be healthy, and they're coming off the bye. They'll have a couple weeks to prepare for this. The Steelers have no excuse not to win this game, and I fully expect them to at least do that. And if they don't, maybe they don't exactly deserve to be in that AFC North title race, and just hope to hang on to a wild card spot. Of course, at the time of recording, the Pittsburgh Steelers at 3-3 hold the AFC's 7th seed and the final wild card spot in the playoffs. So currently they are sitting in a playoff spot, and hopefully that continues throughout the year. But knocking off the Cleveland Browns would keep the Steelers in playoff territory. That would be absolutely huge for the franchise. Past that week, the Steelers have back-to-back NFC North opponents. And this is where things get kind of exciting to me, because the Detroit Lions, of course, they're playing some hard football under Dan Campbell. They're not an easy out by any means, are still one of the weakest rosters we've seen in quite some time in the NFL. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They are not a great roster. Ragnow is on the IR. Taylor Decker's been on the IR, so their great offensive linemen haven't been playing. Penei Sewell looks decent, but once again, this Lions team does not look good. They are definitely a team that's kind of in that situation where they're hoping to free up as much cap as they can, get some high draft capital, and support Dan Campbell in this roster the best they can. So that's not going to happen overnight, though. That's just the fact of the matter. Will this team get better? Over time, the Lions will get better, but the Steelers are going to get them, again, in a pretty good position, taking on the Detroit Lions. This is another game the Steelers should win. And after that, the Chicago Bears, with Justin Fields at quarterback. Again, I know the Steelers historically struggle against the Bears. Thing is, they don't historically struggle against rookie quarterbacks. Typically, the Steelers beat up rookie quarterbacks. We saw it last year with Joe Burrow. Year in and year out, this defense under now Keith Butler and before Dick LeBeau rarely, if ever, lose to rookie quarterbacks. Once again, this is a game the Steelers should win. So the next three opponents after this bye week, the Steelers should be sitting at 6-3. If the Steelers can do that, right before heading into that December month, middle of November at that point, the Steelers will be in a fantastic position to make a run at a playoff spot. Yes, a couple of those wins would be against NFC teams and not the best in terms of tiebreakers. But with what they've been able to accomplish already this year, 6-3, they'd be sitting quite pretty at the very least in the wild card race. Of course, the Steelers games against the Ravens, Browns, of course, again, and the Bengals rematch. That's really what this AFC North division is going to come down to if the Steelers want any hope of a repeating as division champions. If they're going to do it, they have to win these divisional games. Repeating any losses like that embarrassing one of the Bengals is not going to cut it by any stretch of the imagination. The Steelers, if they want to be AFC North champions, probably need to win at least four of these AFC North games as we continue the season. But for the Steelers to make the playoffs here now, they need to take care of business these next three games. So first and foremost, getting healthy on the bye, that's obviously the priority. But thankfully, when you're not playing a game on Sunday, your chance of getting injured is drastically reduced. Sure, stuff happens in practice, but it's not that full go contact. It's not the repeated blows play after play. So it is greatly reduced by any means. Freak accidents happen, but so do they happen just walking down the street and stepping incorrectly. Stuff happens, but when you're not playing games, it's very unlikely that something bad will happen. So knock on wood that I didn't just jinx anything, but the Pittsburgh Steelers should be a healthy team moving forward here. On top of that, they have all these factors, like I mentioned before, that are weighing very nicely for them. Another huge thing with the bye week, typically that's when the rookies start to shine and kind of reach their rookie ceiling. And after the bye week, once they get a little bit more comfortable, that that faux extra training camp in the middle of the year with the extra week to prepare for stuff, that's usually when rookies hit their stride. We see that kind of time after time. The rookies just being able to get an extra week to relearn the playbook, really kind of dive in, work those routes with Big Ben or whoever happens to be a quarterback, be able to work a little bit more with their positional coaches. Rookies just get better after the bye week, and that's the same thing with every team in the NFL. The Steelers, of course, have been led by some dominant rookie performances already. Najee Harris, of course, what needs to be said with the kid. Pat Freiermuth, as his targets go up, same to his catches. Only two of his targets have fallen incomplete this year. It's just mind-boggling that this guy catches pretty much everything thrown his way. The two incompletions, I'm fairly certain. One was kind of a contested catch, and another one was a bad throw by Big Ben. He simply catches everything that is a catchable ball. So I expect Freiermuth to take a jump. The offensive linemen and Kendrick Green and Dan Moore Jr., I honestly expect them to take another step forward too. And perhaps Dan Moore Jr. cementing himself as a starting left tackle, even with Zach Banner coming off the injured reserve. Defensively, of course, those rookies, Isaiah Loudermilk, I don't anticipate him taking any kind of significant play bump in terms of snap count usage. Stephon Tuitt is going to be back available, and so is Chris Wormley, still being that veteran presence, and Isaiah Buggs still also being there in the middle, so it's going to be hard for him to take over any more of a role. I'm curious to see what Buddy Johnson does, though. Of course, he's been a healthy scratch with the amount of linebackers the Steelers got kicking around, but he could be someone that is more of a sure tackler, downhill kind of hitter type of guy that could make a push for this roster if he could unseat someone like Ulysses Gilbert III, perhaps earn a shot on special teams, but he is someone to watch moving forward. Derek Tuska, I guess, would be that other outside linebacker that is on the roster. He's not cutting in the big three snap countage by any means, but perhaps he could be playing a little bit more on special teams as well. Trey Norwood is the other defensive rookie that needs to be talked about. He has been a beast as this year goes on. He does not look like a seventh round pick by any means, especially as a corner secondary type player. He has been a stud for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Of course, that Seahawks game kind of being the exclamation point on a very good rookie season so far from a seventh round pick, which you never see out of seventh rounders. Of course, the Steelers run that nickel position by a committee right now, but Norwood, as this bye week rolls on and after that big performance, maybe he sees a bump in play time as well. Presley Harvin III, he's going to be the punter after the bye week no matter what, so really no harm, no foul there with the Steelers punter. But that kind of wraps things up for the first half of the show. We're going to jump into a quick break and be back with more live mic action in just a moment. Pittsburgh Steelers fans, it is time for the second half of the Live Mike podcast. Once again, my name is Michael Beck, your deputy editor of BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. And of course, in the first half of the show, we looked at some of the reasons why the Pittsburgh Steelers are in a very pretty position right now to continue their hunt for the playoffs. Now, we touched a little bit on the rookies. We touched a little bit on the schedule. Now, I guess we can look at the rest of the team and kind of snoop around with what everyone kind of needs to do to continue this playoff push. And of course, I think one of the big names that we all kind of need to point at right now is, well, first and foremost, offensive coordinator Matt Canada. He has shown his offense kind of open up as the weeks go on here. He's set up some plays, and the Steelers have done a number of times per game they've run some sort of play where sitting there watching back, and all of a sudden they pull something out, and it makes you go, oh, that's nice play design. And it seems like those are popping up more and more as the season goes on. And that's kind of one of those things with any type of offense. Those wrinkles that you add in, they don't really get set up until you put more stuff on film and you force teams to kind of commit to what they see and try to defend what they know is already installed. That's when those kind of those fun kind of throwback screen type plays, those end arounds, those shovel passes, that's when those plays start to work and start to work very effectively. As this year goes on, I really anticipate Matt Canada open up that side of his playbook more and more and more and more. That's just one of those things that his innovative offense has always done. It's just perhaps one of the reasons why it looked like it started slow for this team. But now Matt Canada, especially in that game against the Seattle Seahawks, is starting to kind of unleash the potential of this offense that I know a lot of us have kind of been waiting for, to see exactly what he was going to have in store. But Steelers offense has looked better and better as the week has gone on, and I would seriously point in Matt Canada's direction for a lot of that credit. Of course, Najee Harris, who we talked in the first half, is also a big part of that role, being able to take over that ground game and kind of being the bell cow for the entire offense now, which has taken a big load off the shoulders of one Benjamin Todd Roethlisberger, Pittsburgh Steelers starting quarterback since 2004. Now, Big Ben, whether or not you want to believe this is his swan song year, he has been able to, especially in these last two victories, do just enough to be victorious for this team. The Steelers don't need him to go out and throw the ball 50 times. In fact, they need him to do the opposite, limiting him to at least under 40 throws, at least. And you'd like to see that number under 30 throws. Means the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to be successful. You're not tiring Ben out. You're not making him make decision time after time after time. His game has always been just throw the football only he knows how to do, and just be successful at it. But as he gets older, that gets harder and harder to do, especially for someone who is kind of self even said that he hasn't been the kind of guy that puts hours in the film room or works on his mechanics. He's kind of just the guy that's always been able to play to his strengths and just throw the football, and it's worked out pretty good for him throughout his career. But once again, as he ages, that's not the ideal thing to do. So what the Pittsburgh Steelers can do to allow Ben to be successful is, instead of trying to let him be the Ben of old, just evolve his game into letting him throw the ball less, and let the offense flow through Najee Harris, which they of course done against the Denver Broncos and Seattle Seahawks, both games ending up being Steelers victories. So just letting Ben throw the ball a little bit less would be better. The only other thing you'd like to see from Ben is to connect some of those deeper shots. I'm not saying those screaming routes down the sideline. I'd love to see some more seams and posts and stuff in the middle of the field get completed out of him, because that would just add a whole new level to this offense we have not seen. Moving forward, we also need to touch on this offensive line. The rookies have looked pretty good, but there's been games when Kevin Dotson has struggled, Trey Turner has struggled, and of course, Chukwuma Okorafor has struggled himself as well. They've honestly been playing better as the weeks have gone on. I think anyone who sat back and watched this team in week one compared to now can honestly say the Steelers offensive line is playing its best football of the regular season as of the time of me recording this podcast. They've been getting better. Maybe Zach Banner getting back in the lineup takes that next step for this offensive line, and all of a sudden we get to worry a whole lot less. That is the ideal scenario here, and hopefully that's exactly what works out for them. Receiver-wise, of course, losing Juju Smith-Schuster sucks, but the Steelers still have a ton of talent in that receiving core. Chase Claypool is a beast. Of course, he struggled against the Seattle Seahawks. He needs to figure that out. We know what he can do. It's the fact is if he can be consistent with it and avoid the sophomore slump, which unfortunately seems to be a direction he's kind of trending in, but hopefully he can break that and prove to be that big body receiver we know he can be. Deontay Johnson's taken that next step to a degree. Just the one drop pass against the Seahawks on the year, but has kind of become Ben's number one guy, and it's looked like he's been developing and trending in that direction since those two have been able to work with one another. also in the receiving corps, James Washington perhaps was probably a little more banged up against the Seahawks than we might have been led to believe. He only played a handful of snaps, and Ray McLeod pretty much got the bulk of the game action as that wide receiver three. So that's another thing to keep an eye on. Also, Anthony Miller, latest Steeler signee, kind of anticipate him to get in the lineup at some point too, once he figures out the offense and builds a little chemistry with Ben Roethlisberger. Defensively, outside of Stephon Tuitt coming back, I think the Steelers' defense are sitting in a pretty good spot. You want to see Devin Bush and Joe Schobert do a little bit more at middle linebacker, but they've been pretty good nonetheless, especially in the pass game. The Steelers' front, that has been unbelievable. T.J. Watt has come screaming in despite missing a game and a half. He's got to be someone that's right up there in contention for Defensive Player of the Year. Once again, that game against the Seattle Seahawks, it should be a game of legend. A pair of sacks, three other TFLs, three batted balls, a forced fumble, seven total tackles. The guy was all over the field. TJ Watt was an absolute stud against the Seahawks, and he's been a stud all year long. TJ's only played in five games, but has totaled seven sacks already, on average for his best sack season ever. And once again, missed a game and a half and is still doing it at this level. It is kind of hard to fathom how good TJ Watt has been, and the fact that he's living up to that top paid defensive player in all of football. He's living up to that contract and then some, because not only is he paid like the top guy, he very well may be the top guy in the NFL, and better than we've ever seen him perform before. So this is a huge year for TJ Watt. Alex Highsmith also picked up a sack and a half. He looks like he's finally getting going. Melvin Ingram kind of took a step back in snap-wise, but has still kind of been a game wrecker when he gets on the field. He hasn't really had the numbers you'd hope from him, but you can tell he's around the football seemingly each and every play. Another guy that needs to be brought up on this defensive front is big Cam Hayward, who honestly, by the eye test, not necessarily the stat test, but by the eye test, despite it being into his 30s now, perhaps playing the best football of his career. Cam Hayward has been unbelievable. He has been arguably one of, if not the best defensive tackles in football. And yes, that is including Aaron Donald. Cam Hayward has been a game breaker. What a year for him at this point. He might even be better than TJ Watt, but just hasn't had the flashy numbers that someone trying to get that recognition would typically get. But what, nine total tackles and seven of, or six of which being solo as a defensive lineman against the Seattle Seahawks, that is ridiculous. Going back to the secondary, Minkah Fitzpatrick, of course, team's quarterbacks are not trying to throw the ball in his direction by any means, but he's been a heat-seeking missile all year long, racking up some tackles. Is he getting the turnovers? No, but teams are scared of him, so they're not even giving him the opportunity to make those plays. So you can give old Minkah a break on that, on those scenarios. At cornerback, Joe Hayden has been a wily veteran and has looked good for himself aside from missing a couple tackles, but he's been close to lockdown as you can get from a corner in today's pass-first NFL. I really like what I've seen out of Joe Hayden. And Cam Sutton, he continues to impress as getting his first opportunities as the guy on the edge. He was someone that I was a little concerned about heading into the season, but he's looked pretty good. There's been times where he's gotten beat, yes, like any corner would, but he has been impressive to date. Also, Terrell Edmonds is probably in the middle of his best year of his career as well. Perhaps a little motivated by not getting that fifth-year option picked up, but Edmonds has definitely earned a spot in the NFL somewhere again next year in 2022. Whether or not that's the Steelers remains to be seen, but he has been playing some good football, and the Steelers are a better team because of it. Of course, special teams-wise, I think Chris Boswell also needs a shout-out here. He's been unbelievable in a year where kickers have been putrid across the entire league. Aside from Justin Tucker, Chris Boswell has been the second-best kicker in football, and the only thing that's separating them is Justin Tucker happened to kick the NFL's longest field goal ever while time expired to win the game. The dude's just ridiculous, but that's no slight on Boswell, who's been just as good in his own right, making nearly all of his kicks, and of course pulling the Steelers to victory against the Seahawks this past weekend. aside from that, I do want to remind everyone as we get to the end of the show here to click over to BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. Should be your one-stop shop for all things Pittsburgh Steelers, as you already know. Past that, also make sure you're checking out the entire podcast platform, because BTSC is dialing out tons of content for you. There's going to be an opportunity here over the bye week for you guys to be featured on our podcast. So just click over to BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. There's an article explaining how you can be featured on one of our podcasts here during the bye week. So click on over to the website, check out the breaking news and the stories and the commentary and the film rooms, but also find out how you can be featured on one of our podcasts. So with all that being said, my name once again is Michael Beck. If you want to continue the conversation you heard here today with me, you can always follow me on Twitter at MichaelBeck56. Shoot me a tweet and we can have a conversation about the Pittsburgh Steelers football life. You name it, I'll try to respond to each and every one of you. Once again, thank you for tuning in to today's show. You've been listening to Live Mike. I'm Michael Beck. Here we go, Steelers, and we'll catch you guys next week.